Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Wendy Sharber, and I am the moderator for this session. You should be able to hear me. I guess we will be sitting down for this session if anybody has any formal complaints. Talk to the AV guys. This session is on standardizing health information exchanges for early hearing detection and intervention. And we have three speakers today. We have a 90-minute session. I'm sure you've all heard to turn off your cell phones, and please continue to do so. I'm going to introduce the speakers all at once so that we have the minimum of exchange and running up and down. John Eichwald, first of all, is presently the team lead for the Early Hearing Detection and Intervention Program with the National Center on Birth Defects and Development Disabilities at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta, Georgia. In this position, he oversees the various EDDI activities, including collaboration with federal, national, and state agencies and organizations in assisting states and territories to develop standardized procedures for newborn hearing screening tracking, surveillance, data collection, and management. John has more than 30 years' experience in the field of pediatric audiology. He has published extensively and made numerous presentations, primarily concerned with the early identification of hearing loss in newborns. Prior to his position at the CDC, he held several clinical and administrative positions within the Utah Department of Health, including various aspects of public health informatics, including data management and analysis, telehealth, and database integration. John is a member of the HHS Secretary's Advisory Committee on Heritable Disorders in Newborns and Children, Health Information Technology Workgroup, and the Integrating the Healthcare Enterprise, Quality Research and Public Health Domain, Planning and Technical Committees. John served as the subject matter expert for the American Health Information Community Personalized Healthcare Workgroup and the Health Information Technology Standards Panel for Newborn Screening Interoperability Specifications, IS-92. And to John's left is Lori Reed Forquette. Ms. Forquette is a principal at the eHealth Sign Consulting in Health Informatics. Lori is a convener for ISO TC215 Workgroup 4 on Health Informatics Security and chair of the ISO TC215 Task Force for Patient Safety and Quality. She is a member of HL7 Security and has been supporting multiple health initiatives within HL7, including the Public Health Functional Profile. She is also a member of the IHE Quality Public Health and Research Quality Research and Public Health Domain Patient Care Coordination IT Infrastructure Planning and Technical Committees, and was part of the ONC HISPC Adoption and Standards Collaborative Team. Lori is part of the contracting team for HITSB and served as facilitator and technical writer for the Population Perspective Specifications Development, including biosurveillance, quality, maternal and child health, newborn screening, and public health case reporting. And then to Lori's left is Dr. Anna Orlover. Alova. Dr. Alova is a visiting associate professor at the Division of Health Science Informatics, Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and an associate, Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She is also a clinical associate professor at the School of Public Health and Health Sciences, University of Massachusetts Amherst. Dr. Alova is a member of the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine Executive Committee for the National Library of Medicine's Training Program on Health Sciences Informatics and the NLM Robert Woods Johnson Foundation Public Health Informatics Program. She started her informatics career at the All-Union Institute of Science, Scientific and Technological Information in Moscow, Russia, where she led the development of large-scale information systems on industrial wastes. Her informatics interests are in the area of electronic health record systems, applications for public health, and information technology standards. We'll be presenting in that order, and thank you very much for attending. Thank you.
Good afternoon. As Wendy introduced, I'm John Eichwald. I'm the team lead for the Early Hearing Detection Intervention Program. We affectionately call it EDDI, E-H-D-I. So if we start using that term, you'll understand what we're saying. Before I get too involved...
Is that on?
I was just going to check for you.
It's just... I don't know. I'm in the middle.
Actually, is this being recorded or anything?
Yeah.
Do we need to have mics?
Yes, it is being recorded.
Okay.
You can talk in that.
That's uncomfortable. Next time.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, is that much better? Check, check. I want as many as I can get. Before I jump right into the presentation, I want to sort of put a personal slant on this and really why what I'm doing right now I have such a passion for. By training, I'm an audiologist, and most of my career has been in the identification of hearing loss in newborns and children. And there's a couple of things that have really sort of episodes in my life that really create my interest. First is when I, as an audiologist, and you're testing a baby's hearing, and you turn over, you get done with the test, and you look at mom, and you tell mom that your baby's got a hearing loss. And of course, there's tears and the pain that the families endure, and you take those tears home with you. But then, luckily, sometimes what you can also do is you're lucky enough to actually fit that child, that baby, with their very first hearing aid. And that when you turn that hearing aid on and mom says something, and for the very first time, the baby turns and looks up at mom. And there's tears again, and those are tears of joy, of course. That's one of the things that pushes me forward. The other is actually occurred earlier in my career. And that's when I was actually still a graduate student. I was working for the Utah Department of Health. And it was my job to contact moms that had filled out a questionnaire in the hospital for us. We were looking for children that had a higher chance of having a hearing loss, and they were filling out some risk information. And my job was to call them up and say, your child has a higher chance of hearing loss. Please bring them in for a hearing test. And too many times I'd be on the call, and I'd say, hello, I'm John Eichwald. I'm calling from the Utah Department of Health. When you're in the hospital, you filled out this questionnaire. You should bring your baby in. And then there'd be this silence. And mom would say, I'm sorry, my baby died. And I made that call way too many times. And so it really has really forged the mantra in my life, and that is we have to have the right information at the right time to the right people and in the right format. And I really sincerely believe that electronic health records can really move us into this direction. So, a little personal touch there. For you that may not know much about EDDI, we basically have three goals, and that's that all children will be screened for hearing loss before 1 month of age. Those children that don't pass their hearing screen should have an audiological diagnosis by 3 months of age, and any child identified with a hearing loss should be enrolled in an appropriate intervention program by 6 months of age. Hearing loss is one of the three core conditions that is recommended by the Secretary's Advisory Committee on Newborn Screening. It's also recommended that all newborns be screened by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. It is the most common condition that's being screened for in the newborn period, considerably higher than the other conditions that are screened by metabolic screening. There's definitely a health impact. Late identification of hearing loss does impact a child's communication, language, social skills, and school achievement. We've calculated out that what we're seeing is an increase of about over $115,000 if a child is enrolled in an educational program, and we've determined that we can actually have a reduction of $44,000 per child, or the EDDI program essentially saves $200 million a year, and those were based on 2007 data. Oftentimes people want to know, how do you test a baby's hearing? You can't ask them to raise their hand. Essentially, we have two types of hearing screening. They're both computer-based. In one case, what we're doing is we're looking at the brain's response to sound, and in the other, we're actually putting a sound into the ear and measuring the ear's response to that. But again, since it's computer-based, it gives us an opportunity to capture that data electronically. We're doing very well at newborn screening. Over a decade ago, less than half of the children in the United States were being screened, and as of 2009, we can document that over 97% of the children in the United States are now being screened for hearing loss, a true public health success story. In 2009, we identified over 5,000 infants with permanent hearing loss, and over two-thirds of those children were diagnosed before 3 months of age, meeting our, almost reaching our Healthy People 2010 target. But if you look at that red piece of the pie, there's our problem.
and that is just slightly less than half of the children that fail their newborn hearing screening, we can't document whether those children have received services or not. Now, they may have been seen by an audiologist, but that data may not have been sent to the state program. They may have been lost, moved to other states, and so we really have this significant need for better data. There's a lot of data that we want to collect. We want to collect data on screening, we want to collect data on diagnostics, and we want to collect data on early intervention. We really do feel that electronic health records can improve the data that we're collecting. We feel that it will reduce errors and improve the quality of the data that's being collected. It'll improve the access and timeliness of services, provides families with the information to make sound and knowledgeable decisions, and promote better services through secure integration of clinical, personal, and population health services, and bottom line, also reduce healthcare costs. There's benefits to hospitals. We can reduce duplicate data entry. We can, again, increase the quality of the data. We can also use some quality measures to assure that all children are receiving the services, screening services that they need. It's also, we feel that it can be a benefit to states and territories, that, again, the quality assurance activities that the state is involved with, it can reduce the expense of documenting services. Too many times what we're seeing is that many of our state coordinators are making phone calls to parents and finding, say, you know, your child should be tested. And they said, oh, my child already has been tested. And so we're spending a lot of time and energy tracking down kids that have already received services. Also provides us with better demographic data, age-specific data throughout the process. Benefits to families. We want to be able to empower those families with electronic access to their health information. We want to reduce repetition of information provided. How many times do we go into medical offices and we're asked to fill out the same information over and over again? This is even harder on families that have children with special health care needs because they're filling out the same information many times. If we can provide them with a secure access to their health information, provides that portability. And it really, what we're looking at is really transforming information from provider focus that is controlled by the medical community to a patient-family focused healthcare system. At the same time, we think we can improve the services healthcare providers, that all providers have information on all the screening results. Just because if we're only providing pediatricians and other pediatric care providers with the kids that don't fail, or excuse me, that don't pass, then all they're getting is that information. No news does not mean good news. It basically means no news. They should have access to all screening results on all the children in their practice. We want to make sure that, particularly in newborn hearing screening, we have a lot of healthcare providers that are trying to coordinate the services. We want to make sure they all have access to the same information and in a timely manner. We want to be able to provide clinical decision support. This is, hearing loss is not considered a common disorder. It's essentially fairly rare, so a primary care provider does not see a lot of these kids. They're not positive on whether the appropriate services. And again, we want to send that out. Best clinical practice is based on jurisdictional guidelines. And again, we want to make sure that children are continually receiving the services they should be receiving. We also feel that we can use this to improve educational services that are provided through Part C of early intervention, and that we can assist with the eligibility determination for the services they receive. We can share consent information so that we can share information. We can provide reports for federal reporting and assure that the child receives, again, appropriate services such as data on information on immunizations, hearing screening, and other screening services. So what I want to focus on today real quickly are three areas that we've been very involved with, and that's leveraging state standards harmonization, EHR interoperability, and quality measures. The real basis for interoperability is that we have to have those data standards. If we can establish those data standards, then we can start moving information between systems. So we've been working very closely with the National Library of Medicine. They've established a series of LOINC codes for newborn screening. This is for both newborn hearing screening and for metabolic screening. You can go out to their website and look at many of the all the conditions that are presently recommended by the Secretary's Advisory Committee. Specifically, you can look at hearing loss. We have developed LOINC codes for the type of testing we're doing. These are those two types of screening devices that we've used. So we can actually now code the methodology of the testing. We've also developed LOINC codes for the results of the testing. All this information is also collected within FinVADS. If you go out to the FinVADS website, you can type in Eddie. You'll find all of our LOINC codes. You'll also find all the SNOMED codes that are associated with it. Plus, we also have a lot more information out there in terms of risk factor data standards. It's just a very comprehensive list of the data standards that we're now recommending for states and territories. Moving on to EHR interoperability. How many people are familiar with the standards and interoperability framework from ONC? Okay, so we've sort of been following this, even though this wasn't actually published before we actually got into this area. But in terms of use case definitions or development, in 2008 we developed the use case in the American Health Information Community. In 2009, we started working with the Health Information Technology Standards Panel. We developed the interoperability specifications for newborn screening. That's IS 92. Then we moved on to integrating with the healthcare enterprise, IHE. And in 2010, we developed our first implementation specifications for EDI. In January of this year, we took those implementation specification, had them tested at the IHE Connectathon in Chicago, where they were tested. We then moved on in February to the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase in Orlando, where we demonstrated. We also want to then start moving this forward into certification and for certification and testing. That profile that we developed had five use cases built within it in terms of audiological diagnosis of the infants, the referral to early intervention, and then clinical surveillance of a child that might develop hearing loss later in life based on risk factors. It also included the basis for our early hearing care plan, which is essentially clinical decision support, again, based upon jurisdictional guidelines. It had all our EDI LOINC codes and SNOMED codes included into it, and we also had quality measures that were developed, and I'll be talking about those a little bit later too. This is really the scenario that we tested in Connectathon and that we demonstrated at the HIMSS showcase, essentially capturing data from the electronic health records, combining that with data that we could capture from the screening devices, combining those together, sending those forward into public health. Then public health could, from that data, create an early hearing care plan, again, clinical decision support, providing that information out to the primary care provider. This also shows the capability of moving information out to public personal health records, but we did not test those we did not test that part of the scenario. So this was what happened in Orlando in February. And you can see that this is where the patient care devices were. If you actually look over to the far right, you can see a little bassinet, and that's where our little plastic baby, we didn't have a real baby, we simulated that baby was tested there, captured that screening data, and then moved that over into as part of our use case. What does it take to do this? A lot of people and a lot of collaboration among the vendors. We had Epic and GE Healthcare. They served as our hospital-based EHR to collect the data, have it registered, and the registration of the mom, and then the delivery of the baby. We had that information was then moved over to Oz Systems, which served as the EDI information system that created the early hearing care plan, and that care plan was then sent on to a Success EHS and Greenway that we're serving as our ambulatory or pediatric electronic health records. We also had Siemens there. They were capturing data, again, from the Oz system to measure quality, to produce quality measures that we had included with our use case. I certainly have to recognize my partners in crime here. They were extremely helpful. Laura did a lot of the writing of our use case and our specifications. And Anna always been cracking the whip. As if you know Anna, she's good at cracking whips. Now that was back in February. We do have the capability. We are actually showing again a new use case here at PHI. If you go down into the exhibit hall, how many people have gotten to see a interoperability demonstration yet? Oh, good. So there's okay. You've got more time. So what we've done is we've developed a use case where we actually combine the use case for birth registration and newborn hearing screening and created these into one use case. And you can see that here at the showcase in the exhibit hall. You've got two more sessions scheduled. Tomorrow at noon, we should have another session scheduled. And then on Wednesday, there'll be another session scheduled here. And in this case, what we're using is Care Evolution is serving as our ambulatory care. Epic is our hospital. And once again, Oz is our information system. The states of Indiana and Iowa are our EDI coordinators or EDI programs, and Minnesota and Utah are serving us the birth registrations. You can actually see an electronic birth certificate created through this use case, through this demonstration. We're continuing to move forward with our technical frameworks within IHE. We're continuing to build upon our early hearing care plan. We're also doing a more refinement of the data measures for our quality measures. Definitely want to also recognize colleagues in crime, Wendy Blumenthal from the Cancer Registry and Michelle Williamson from National Center for Health Statistics at CDC have been very helpful in writing our guidelines, our implementation. We do definitely work collaboratively. We're also working in IHE on developing a public health case, public health reporting workflow, and so CDC is involved there at IHE. We've also been working on quality measures. I assume everybody's heard about meaningful use, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on here. Obviously, there are incentives out there for people to use certified medical records, and CMS in their final rule did state that newborn screening, both as a clinical quality measure and from a data standards perspective, was prime candidate for inclusion in stage two. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. And they also wanted to talk about their commitment for working with measure development, and specifically stated within the final rule, it states that the HITECH Act requires that CMS gives preference to clinical measures that are endorsed by the National Quality Forum. Back in July of 2010, we started working with NQF to develop some national quality measures. CDC developed four of those measures, and the National Committee for Quality Assurance developed a measure all around newborn hearing screening. Last Monday, a week ago, NQF announced that all of these measures, there are 44 child health quality measures that are now fully endorsed by their board of directors. And so we're starting to move those forward in terms of being able to provide this data on a national basis. Once again, I just sort of want to remind you, please come and visit the interoperability showcase. There are other scenarios. Were you guys going to talk? Yeah. Were you guys going to talk about the other use cases, or should I?
Laura,
you will. Okay. Sorry. Pick one of these up. It includes all the use cases, and Laura will talk more about that. Then we're going to move forward with the IHE profile that we're developing. Again, we want to test at Connectathon in Chicago, and we hope, again, to demonstrate at the HIMSS Interoperability Showcase. Also, we want to work with NQF on another occasion. They're calling for a new set of measures, including perinatal measures, and so we want to develop a measure based on the screening referral rate at hospitals. All the the measures we've been developing so far are population-based. This will really be more of a hospital-based measure. And with that, I want to thank you.